Hey guys, I'm Shauna.
And I'm Ash.
And this is a Bitty Bothered.
A legit Bitty Bothered.
Yeah.
A bothered like, AF.
Yeah. But we're gonna actually keep it like bitty this time.
Yes.
Because I think the last one we did was like bitty, but not like super, super bitty.
I don't think any of our bitties have actually been really like.
They haven't.
They've all been closer to an hour. And I get it's supposed to be like a half hour-ish, but, you know, it's our show. We do what we want.
Yeah, fuck it.
Sorry we like to give you so much information, juice.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we just like talking.
Damn. Clearly. That's why we're here.
Obviously. But, yeah, we thought that it would be really cool for us to talk to you guys about scary movies that were inspired by serial killers, true events kind of thing.
Yeah, something a little bit different. And honestly, it was kind of funny because I was a little intimidated by this topic at first. And then I started to go into it and I was talking to my friend Lisa about it. And I was like, oh my God, there's actually so many more movies than I thought there were.
Yeah.
Like, we could probably do a second edition of this.
We definitely could. And like the thing that I like about this episode was specifically the fact that it's not necessarily movies that are, like, based on the exact events, so it's not, like,
the Ted Bundy one on Netflix.
Yeah, it's not like
that. It's not a documentary
movie. It's, like, movies where the writers or director were, like, inspired by certain events. So it's not necessarily, like, play-by-play, but it has, like, a lot of those, like, themes and aspects in it.
Exactly.
So I think that that's really cool. We'll definitely expand on it if you guys, like, give some good feedback because there are tons of things that we could talk about.
Yes. Well, and there was a couple that I think we may or may not read just because we want to do full-length episodes on them alone. Like, they're so interesting.
You guys can't see, but I'm shaking my head.
Yep.
Yeah, honestly, all of the ones that I'm talking about today are all ones that I'm super into the storylines and the real events that came behind them, and I'd really like to talk about each and every one that I'm talking about today.
Definitely.
So, and I know Ashley has some really cool ones on there too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's everyone doing? Sorry, I like legit just like skipped bullshit and went straight into like,
that's
this
okay.
is what we're fucking talking about.
That's all right. Sometimes that's kind of fun to do. But
I know, right?
Yeah, I hope everyone is doing well. It seems like we're coming back into a stronger wave of this whole virus.
Let's not even talk about that because I'm still heavily at work.
Yeah, well, maybe not for long. Not if California decides to shut down again.
Is that a thing?
It was a threat. The governor was like, oh, I'm prepared to shut this down if people can't, you know, step it up. Because I still have customers that come in the store that, like, reluctantly wear their mask, but they pull it down to, like, talk and shop. And I'm like, can you just humor me, please? I'm huge. I'm pregnant. Like, you can tell I'm wearing my mask. Can you do your part? It's also, we get a write-up if we aren't wearing our mask. But
yeah, and that's what I tell all my customers. I'm like, I'm sorry, but they're, like, super on top of my cameras. I'll get in trouble if you guys aren't wearing your mask. Can you put it on or get out?
My little one means more to me than you're being comfortable in the store. And now today they sent out a thing. Women that are pregnant have now been put on the high risk, like at risk for coronavirus list because they weren't on there before. Because they didn't think that it could really affect them that much. Apparently, it can. So Ron sent it to me and was like, yeah, I think you need to stop working now.
Mm-hmm. You're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just say that to the coverage that I can easily find.
Yeah. I feel that. Let's not even talk about that. Anyways. So, hope everyone's doing well and not as miserable at work as, like, me and Ashley are.
Or, you know, maybe you are and you're happier to be at work than you are at home, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Fuck it, to each their own.
Whatever you guys need it to be, glad it's whatever it is for you. Anywho.
Would you like to start us off?
Yeah, sure. Let's get the fuck into it. Sorry. I forget the clapping always is loud. Sorry,
sometimes
guys.
It's not that bad.
We'll see this time. Okay. So, we are going to start off with a story that inspired my absolute favorite movie of all time, Psycho, as well as Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, both of these movies were loosely inspired by the American serial killer Ed Gein. Psycho was also based on a novel that was inspired by him, so there is that. So let's get into this. He was born August 27th, 1906, and was convicted of murder and grave robbing. Between 1947 and 1952, Ed made at least 40 trips to local graveyards in what he said was a dazed-like state and dug up graves of recently deceased middle-aged women who he said resembled his mother. Can't get more Norman Batesy than that.
Mm-hmm.
He confessed to robbing at least 9 graves and led local authorities to the sites after he had been caught. He began doing this soon after his mother's death and said that he was trying to basically make a woman suit so that he could become his mother. Super Norman Batesy.
Ew.
I know, isn't that creepy? He was, like, obsessed with his mom.
That's gross.
Like, it's fucking weird. Upon searching his house, police had found skin-covered chairs.
Oh, I remember that.
Bowls made out of human skulls. Corsets made from female torso skin, masks made from the faces of women, leggings that had been made from human leg skin, as well as whole heads. I didn't want to get super, super into what they found because the list of the things that they found is insane.
Forever long.
And I really want to talk about it because his case, the trial and everything really, really interests me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave it at that. It was nasty. Think very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-y. I mean, he wears, you know, leather face.
He was leather face, yeah.
So, you know, definitely inspired both of those movies. Police had asked if he had also had sex with the bodies, but he denied it, stating that the bodies smelt too bad from decomposition for him to fuck. So he, like, couldn't do it. Which leads me to believe that maybe he tried.
Probably.
And, like, or at least thought about it.
No, I can't handle it.
Yeah, and was just like, not doing it.
An interesting way to draw the line, but all right.
Yeah, I know. That was his line, apparently. So he was tried for one murder but confessed to another, and he was also believed to have been linked to several other missing persons. After his arrest and everything, he was diagnosed schizophrenic after a medical evaluation, and then he died in a mental institution in June of 1984.
All right.
Yep.
Good job, Ed Gein.
Yeah. That was a good one. And it's crazy, too, because after he had died, like, his property and everything was, like, auctioned off, as well as, like, the car that he used to grave rob. Yeah. Like, a lot of his stuff was auctioned off after his death.
Gross.
So, and then I want to say, like, some years later, they ended up tearing down the house and, like the barn and everything, but, yeah.
So this is going to be a full length, possibly, too?
Yeah. No, it's going to be at least one good long one.
Really, really long
one. Yeah.
Which we might be making our regular episodes a little bit longer if we can, so.
Yeah.
Just so that way you can really see the difference between the Bitty Bothered and the long ones.
Exactly. Like, either we gotta shorten the fuck out of the Bitty Botherds or lengthen up the full ones. So, I don't know. If you guys have input, give it to us.
I tried to really, like, go super Reader's Digest on this whole thing, so we'll see if I can.
Okay.
I can knock it down a little bit. Is that it for him?
Yes, that's it for that one.
Okay, so I've got Amityville Horror.
This
one has a little bit of truth behind it, but it's, like, all before the actual hauntings. There were actual murders that were committed by Ronald DeFeo Jr.
We have to talk about this one.
Because
that one, even, like, obviously the haunting part is really interesting.
But the whole entire murder of it as well,
exactly.
Like, it's kind of... That can, on its own, absolutely be a full-length
episode. Ronald
DeFeo, yes.
Just, like, his case and, like, everything with him is enough for one episode. And then, like,
for
the hauntings,
sure.
A second episode. Like,
let's hear it. So, on November 13th in 1974, Ronald shot and killed his entire family while they were all fast asleep. He killed a total of 6 people, his parents and his 2 younger brothers and 2 sisters. The ghost stories came up after a new family had purchased the house a little over a year after the murders had taken place. It was the Lutz family that moved in, and they didn't even last a full month. It was 28 days, to be precise, unless, you know, we're thinking February, then, you know, full month there. But they ended up moving in December the following year. So before they had abandoned the whole entire thing due to all the paranormal events that were taking place. They said there were things like slamming doors and cabinets, doors being ripped off the hinges. The ceilings would ooze some sort of green slime, which reminded me of SpongeBob, that little episode. A demonic face with red eyes that would be looking into the house at night that would leave hoof prints outside of the window on the ground that you could see the demon through the night before. And voices saying, get out. It's believed that the house may have been haunted when the DeFeos were living there, and the demon actually got into Ronald Jr.'s head and possessed him to kill his family.
Yeah.
But there's no proof of that.
That's what I had... Well, because didn't he say that he had voices in his head that had been telling him for weeks to kill his whole family, and that was why he did it?
And it just kind of drove him to that madness.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when the Lutz family moved out, they worked to get a book published on their experiences, and eventually the book turned into a couple of movies, and the movies definitely don't really hold to the truth. So when you think Amityville Horror, like, it's totally different from all the movies. But even I was looking and I was trying to fact check some of the stuff, and it's things that the Lutzes had claimed, like, oh, the doors were ripped off the hinges, and they were like, when people actually went to go inspect the house, the like full-on original hinges and everything were still intact. So they were like, that's not necessarily believable. So some of the stuff can probably be debunked.
Okay.
But
and this one was also one of the more famous cases from Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yes, 100%. Too. They were the two main paranormal investigators that came to check it out afterwards. That.
Okay. Yeah. I think this was one of the ones that really got them, like, recognized in the paranormal community,
It was huge for them.
Okay.
I love those people.
Yeah, no. Their stuff is, like, really cool. We have tons of stuff we could talk about just from them alone.
So we can do a whole entire series of Ed and Lorraine.
Yes, this will be fun. Okay, so next up, I've got a really fucked up movie, and you guys should totally watch it. Like, it made me really sad, but it's also, like, really, really good.
Thank you.
I pass. This one is called The Girl Next Door. This movie was loosely, I feel like closely can kind of, like, you know, be used to describe it, inspired by the tragic torture and murder of a young girl named Sylvia Likens. Sylvia and her sister Jenny were left in the care of a family friend named Gertrude Banaszewski.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So Gertrude, along with her daughter, son, and two neighborhood boys were all tried in the death and torture of Sylvia. The girl's parents had basically agreed to pay Gertrude weekly for watching over the girls, and eventually when payments had started to come in late and the girls would get beaten for it. It was said that she had started by beating them with like a quarter inch paddle. Eventually, the abuse shifted from both of the girls to mainly Sylvia, the older girl. She was 16. The poor girl was, I'm not even going to get super into it because this one is one tragic. That we're going to do like a full episode on, and it's going to be like a, I can't even think of the word right now.
Fucking brutal.
Yeah. It's just, it's terrible. Like it's terrible.
It's like what was that book that everybody used to read in high school? A Boy Called It or a child called it. It's very much like this.
This one is just, it's absolutely disgusting. And I think the scariest part about it is the fact that it's very real. And it's something that to this day can still happen. And you do hear really terrible cases of stuff like this. So I'm just going to kind of glaze it over. So she was sexually abused, assaulted, whipped with a police belt, kicked in the genitals, verbally abused on a daily basis, had food withheld from her, as well as being forced to consume old, rotten food. At one point, she had even had her fingertips burned with matches. Gertrude and her daughter even poured scalding hot water on her just to, like, torment her.
Oh.
And the boys, one of the older boys, I believe, subjected her to spreading feces on her mouth from Gertrude's one-year-old baby's diaper.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. It was just, it was terrible. She died October 26, 1965 from malnutrition, shock, and a subdural hematoma from all of the injuries that she had sustained from the escalated abuse. I literally didn't even touch on the surface of it, to be honest with you guys.
No, there's so much more.
There's so much. It lasted.
Neighborhood kids take part in it. Like,
yeah.
It gets really
It was,
hand.
Like, a bunch of neighborhood kids. They had alerted the school of everything, and somehow Gertrude was able to, like, get out of it and kind of, like, talk herself out of the situation.
It's very Gabriel Hernandez? What's
it is very Gabriel Hernandez-ish. Maybe even worse. In a different way.
I had to stop watching the documentary on Netflix because it was really, really bad. But I didn't realize there was a movie. I know the story, but I had no idea that there was a movie based on it.
Yeah, there's a movie based on it. That's awful. I believe even a book. I think John Carpenter wrote it.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's terrible. I saw the movie when I was really young, and it kind of fucked me up, to be honest. So, yeah, that one we'll get into, but That one is a really good movie if you guys are interested in making yourselves cry.
Well, this one that I have fucked me up enough to where I'm pretty sure I subconsciously, like, made myself forget the movie, or at least forget, like, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. As I know I have seen it, I have the movie. I'm talking about Wolf Creek right now.
Such a fucked up movie.
So beyond.
It's good.
It is really,
it's
really,
a really,
really
good.
Good
movie.
It's
so
very,
fucked
like,
up.
Hostile kind of like, mm-hmm. and just.
I think that one's another one, kind of like the one I just talked about, that's creepy because it's so fucking real.
Yeah.
And like, it's so fucking real.
Well, I didn't report on Hostel, but Hostel was one where it was like, it was inspired by people who do like the kill rooms and stuff like
uh-huh.
that.
Ugh, gross.
But anyway, so Wolf Creek doesn't directly depict the tales of an actual murderer. However, it is greatly inspired by the story of Ivan Milat. He's the backpack murderer. In Wolf Creek, if you've never seen it, it takes place in this wide open, desolate desert in Australia. There's a group of travelers that are stranded when they have some car trouble. This guy comes up to help them and says, like, oh, come back to my place. They all hang out. They fall asleep. And the three travelers wake up later, either later that day or the next day, and they're all tied up in different areas of the house. And the story follows the two girls trying to escape and then their very brutal recapture and torture sessions. Like, it's fucking disgusting. It's like the spinal cord being slashed so they can't move and fingers being cut off. Like, it is really, really bad.
I forgot about that part.
The male traveler at the end ends up getting away and notifies the police. I want to say they're all from Sweden. And so he notifies uh-huh. the Swedish embassy. But he ends up getting blamed for the girls' murders when they try to search the house and they can't find the actual guy who lives there. Like, he just walks off on his own and whatever. That's the movie. But the actual events with Ivan Milat took place in the Belangolo State Forest near Sydney. Milat was the fifth of 14 children.
Hmm.
By age 17, he was in and out of juvie, sentenced to jail when he was 19 after multiple breaking and enterings, car theft, bunch of regular thefts. He was actually also charged with the abduction of two 18-year-old hitchhikers where he raped one of them. And then he faked his own suicide while he was awaiting trial for that case and ran away to New Zealand. Just so that way he didn't have to, like, go to court for it and all that.
What the fuck? So, how did I not know that?
I don't know.
Yeah. I've listened to, like, three different podcasts on Ivan Milat, and I didn't know that.
That one came up, I want to say it was convictcreations.com.
What the fuck?
But he eventually got captured for that one. I think maybe they didn't mention that because when they brought him back, his lawyer was able to get everything dismissed and be like, oh, no, charges are dropped. Like, you have
fuck
no real evidence.
Here.
Yeah, so he was free of that. He eventually ended up in Australia, worked as a truck driver for several years. Milat was convicted of killing a total of 7 backpackers between the ages of 19 and 22. And I feel like this is another one we could do a full episode on, so I just kind of talked about how the different people died. But he's also believed to have been involved in many more disappearances, but since he's dead now, no one will ever know. What he would do is he would offer hitchhiking backpackers a ride, and he would ask them questions about where they were headed or if anybody knew where they were, and in some cases would ask if they had any special training that would allow them to put up a fight for his planned attack. He specifically asked this to Mr. Paul Onions. And Paul Onions was the guy who was able to survive and get away from him and end up becoming, like, a detective and all that later down the road.
Okay, yeah.
His other 7 victims, though, did pass away in various ways. One was shot 10 times in the back of the head. Mm. Police said that they thought that she may have been used as target practice for him by the way that, like, everything just was. One victim was stabbed 14 times, another 2 were stabbed 8 times, another one was shot 6 times in the head, one was brutally beaten with multiple skull fractures and broken bones in the head, and one of the last victims had been decapitated and the skull has never been found. None of these, like, it wasn't like all 7 of them together, it was usually like 1 or 2 of them at a time. And then also Bradley Murdoch was an inspiration to the film. He was another killer who murdered somebody who was backpacking, but he only had 1 victim.
Okay, whereas Ivan Milat had 7. Several.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
God. All right, next up we have The Hills Have Eyes.
Fuck that movie.
It's a really good movie. Honestly, that movie, after, like, I first saw it, I think I, like, refused to go shooting with my dad for probably, like,
this,
2 years.
I have a hard time going off-roading in the desert and going camping because we would go and go, like, biking and everything.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time, like, being out there and, like...
Yeah, it did make it, like, really difficult for me to, like, go out there and go camping. Like...
At least you're going shooting. You've got guns.
I know. They had guns in the movie, too.
They did.
It did not help them.
It was not enough.
The one that this one is inspired by is another one. This story one is freaky. That I really want to talk about because it's just, like, fucking wild. Like, so this movie was based on the Sawney Bean clan of cannibals from Scotland. And when I told Ashley about this one, like, a couple weeks ago, the look on her face, she was just like, what the fuck? She was like, no, this is not based on, like... No. And I was just like, dude, I swear.
You know, now that you say Sawney Bean, I did hear another podcast a long time ago talking about it. And I was like, that's... I still can't believe that that's the inspiration for this movie.
I know. Yeah. I mean, like... And it was from... What happened to, like, the date? This one was from... Let me see. Because I was like, I cannot believe how long ago it was. Okay. So this one took place in the 16th century. This was a family of about 45 people, heavily inbred family, who lived in a cave on the coast of Scotland. The entrance of the cave was blocked during high tide, so they were able to go unnoticed for the whole time that they were there. I want to say it was roughly about 25 years. And the family would basically, like, lay low during the day, sneak out and go, like, up into, like, the town or, like, the area off the coast at night, and they would basically ambush people, take them back to their cave where they would then dismember them and eat them.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. So they would, like, torture people, and it was really gross. Eventually they were caught, but during the whole time that this whole thing was happening, authorities and, like, the people, like, the local townspeople were super suspicious of why so many people were going missing.
There's a ton of people that
because
are just gone.
I want to say that they were said to have killed and eaten up to 1,000 people.
That's what
over, like, a 25-year span, which, like, is insane. Like, that's 1,000 people. Like, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And everyone was, like, suspicious, like, they didn't know.
Is that the only thing that they were eating? Were they only eating people?
No, I think they were also like, scavenging for things.
As well.
Yeah, like, gathering shit at night. But a lot of it was people.
It's disgusting.
And, yeah, so everyone was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's going on? And they were caught when they were trying to ambush a couple. And I want to say that the wife was killed and the husband was, like, pretty combative. And he was good with, like, taking care of himself. And after he, like, fought, like, the couple of them off, a bunch of other townspeople kind of, like, came out. And then once that had happened and the king got word of, like, what was going on, they sent out, like, a search party. And that was when they were able to find the cave along with, like, a ton of evidence as to everything that had been going on.
Oh, good.
There was,
all,
like,
the bones that are in there?
All
Jeez.
Of the bones. They found, like, bodies that were, like, hanging, body parts hanging
That's
from,
disgusting.
Like, the walls and the inside of the caves. It was just terrible.
Ew.
It was insane. And then legend has it that it ended, like, one of two ways. One story, the one that they feel is more credible was they had found all of the people. They had basically take them into, like, the town so that they could be tried. The males had supposedly had their genitals cut off.
Oh, my God.
And then everyone was executed.
Sorry about Kona.
And then the other part of the legend says that once the king found their cave, what they did was they laced the whole front of the cave with gunpowder and basically, like, exploded the inside.
I mean, you're talking 16th century. I think any of that could have happened, but with the way that they like to torture people, it was probably the first
one. I think it was more like the execution thing. But yeah, both of them are
freaky.
Yeah, so that happened. Nasty.
Well, speaking of cannibals, I've got Silence of the Lambs.
Mm.
The story follows, what's her name? I can't forget. Clarice. An FBI agent who's trying to get the help of a convicted cannibal killer in order to catch another serial killer known as Buffalo Bill, who's known for skinning his victims.
Mm.
So the character Buffalo Bill himself, actually, let me start with the Hannibal Lecter guy, actually is not really based on anybody. Did you know that?
Hannibal Lecter is not actually based on
anyone? It's not actually based on somebody. It's Buffalo Bill that is based on people.
Okay.
I thought it was the other way around, or I thought there was a little bit to do with the other one, but when I was doing all of my research, one of the people that was like, one of my sources
Wait,
in here
who
said.
Who is he based on? Because, like, it's literally, like, on the tip of my tongue.
Who are you talking about?
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill is based off of six people. Gary Heidnik, Ed Gein, Ted Bundy, Edmund Kemper, Gary Ridgway, and Jerry Burdos. So it's a little combination of six different. That's like a big combo. Yes.
Because they're all very four different.
Very similar things, though. Well, except for Ted Bundy. Well, let me read. But, yeah, Hannibal Lecter doesn't. He was just kind of a character that they made
so
up.
So then what am I connecting him to? Who am I connecting him to? Because there's one serial killer that they tried to use in order to catch, like, another serial killer. Was it Ted Bundy that authorities were talking?
Was it Kemper? No, it's Ted Bundy in the sense of, like, there was somebody who was talking to, like,
investigators were talking to him.
Yeah, that's the only correlation. Okay. Yeah, it's not like his actual character or the things that he did was inspired by somebody.
Sorry,
but yes,
I wish
you
guys could
have,
like, seen my face right now.
It was a struggle
thought. I'm, like, staring at her, and I'm like,
there's something.
Like, there's something. Okay.
So there's that. So Gary Heidnik, he spent several months designing and building a torture chamber in his own basement where he would bring sex workers and a few mentally challenged adult women, and he would hold them captive there for sex.
Ugh.
It's believed that he was actually trying to build his own, quote, farm where he could impregnate women so he would be able to have his own children. And two women died while being kept in his basement, but he did have several other, sex slaves in there that were, like, he had legit bars on the windows, there were chains, the women's were just, like, totally hooked up. He beat them, raped them, starved them. It was
like
a nightmare.
Like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
After that, you've got Ed Gein. He would, like Shauna said, would dig up the bodies of women that resembled his mother, make various trophies and keepsakes from the bones and the skin of the corpses. He made the female skin suits and skin masks and mutilated a total of 9 corpses and killed 2 people, which is also what Buffalo Bill likes to do with all of his skinning stuff. Ted Bundy was an inspiration just for the sake of the fact that he liked to be pretending to be injured by using an arm brace or crutches as a trick to get unsuspecting women to help him with his books
keys. That that's what he does in the movie. Okay.
Yes. And then when they got close enough, he overpowered them, kidnapped them, killed them, and Bundy had admitted to killing 30 women.
Ugh.
Ed Kemper, killed his grandparents as a teenager, quote, just to see what it felt like.
And it's crazy to think that he was able to do that and then still, like, get off.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, that one, that's another,
another
one,
one
that
we're
going to have to talk about. Like, his fascinates me,
what?
Especially with how candid he is, like, after
just
the fact,
the
talking
way that
about
he talks
it.
About it is weird.
So, like, as a matter of fact,
this is what happened.
And I was feeling this, and I was feeling that, and
it's great. It's weird to hear him talk about
it. It's creepy.
He did also kill his mom and 10 other victims. It wasn't just his grandparents. Gary Ridgway dumped women's bodies in rivers and inserted foreign objects into their corpses.
So fucked up.
Which, in this one, Buffalo Bill would dispose of their bodies in the river as well.
I need to rewatch Silence of the Lambs.
He was convicted of killing 48 people and is also known as the Green River Killer.
Another one we'll talk about.
Yes.
His fascinates me.
Definitely. And then last one is Jerry Burdos. He dressed up in his victims' clothing and kept their shoes. He's known for killing 4 women. And, like, the Silence of the Lambs guy, Buffalo Bill, dressing up in all the different women's clothes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So they took a little bit of
like
all these 6 different people.
Like, everyone just,
people.
Like,
yeah.
Shoved it together.
Yes.
I really didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I knew it was based off of, like, 2 of them, but then I was like, oh, wait, there's so many more people in here.
I knew it was based off of something. I just didn't really know.
That's why we're doing this. This is so cool. It's like, very educational in a way.
Super. Terrible. I'm terrible. Oh, okay. So, next one I've got. And this one is cool because I was actually talking to Ashley about her and I taking a trip to this place and staying nearby and, like, you know, doing some recording. So, Winchester. This movie is based on the events that took place at the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California. The house, which was built in 1884 and owned by Sarah Winchester, the widow of William Winchester, who created the Winchester rifle, is said to be haunted by the people who had been killed by the rifle. The house is very famous for its size, all of the supposed hauntings and the fact that it didn't seem to have much of a set design plan. I guess that's one of like the really interesting things about it. And that was because it was said that she kept adding on to the house to keep the spirits of the men killed by her husband's rifle happy, basically. When she had lived back east, she had lost a daughter at a very young age, and then her husband died from tuberculosis. After that, she met with a medium who had suggested that she needed to find like a piece of property and continually build onto it in order to appease the spirits. And that was when she ended up moving out west to California and started building the Winchester House. Before the earthquake of 1906, the house was said to have been up to 7 stories high, but today stands at 4 stories.
I can't believe they lost that. It's crazy.
Yeah, like the house is so super, super crazy. She put a ton of money into it. A lot of like the stained glass windows, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, were all those are like not cheap.
Handcrafted. She put a lot of thought into it, but she would also just build things just to build things. Like, adding rooms that didn't really have a purpose or doorways that led to nothing.
Doors that lead to nothing.
Yeah, staircases that just
the one door that you open that just leads you to like straight drop outside of the house.
Yeah. So there's like a ton of stuff on that one, and it's just said to be like insanely haunted.
I took a virtual tour of it. In the very beginning of quarantine, they were running free tours online.
Oh, that's super cool. I didn't know that they were doing that.
Yeah, it's cool because you get to go through the stables and everything like that. It was.
I would honestly love to go there, and that's not a trip I'd want to do with my kid. I take my kid.
I don't know. I wanted to do it when I was little.
See, my son is too, like, hyper and, like, all over the place.
You need something to be a little more calm and just, like, we need to take our time and go
through.
Yeah,
like, I want to go. I want to enjoy it. I want to, like, read all of the stuff that they have to let you read. I want to take, like, the guided tour. I would love to do a nighttime tour. So that's something I would more want to do, like, as an adult.
Yes.
Time kind of thing.
And we get drinks before? Yes.
And after.
And after.
Yes. So we're going to have to do this after baby.
Yes.
So... yeah.
Husband can babysit for the weekend.
Be great. Exactly. We'll do girls' trip. Ooh.
Yes.
We got a whole thing planned.
Well, we're going to go cross-country with this.
Yes.
It's not just going to be a weekend.
No. It's going to be a lot of things, guys. So, be prepared.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Just wait till we can actually do stuff.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you.
For fucking real, honestly.
I told you this thing was going to go through the end of the year.
Fuck it.
We might not. Actually, and we were planning our baby shower. We're probably not going to be able to have one anymore. Guarantee they're going to cancel everything as we're, like, getting ready to do it.
Stop talking.
Sorry.
God. Stop. It's not going to be that bad, okay? You know what? Things better clear the fuck up really soon because I just bought, like, a weekend festival pass to, like...
next year?
Yeah, a
they'll
giant
have
show in
then.
Chicago, so, like...
ooh, Chicago.
Uh-huh. Your girl's trying to find a new home.
I don't blame you. California is sinking into the Pacific Ocean.
So
we gotta get out.
Yeah.
We're about to be beachfront property over here, away in the inland.
I know, right?
The next earthquake? Shoot.
Oh my god. Okay, so now what do we have from Ashley?
I've got Nightmare on Elm Street. This Ooh. One was, it's super, super short, so don't give me shit for it, but I just thought this one was pretty cool. But the Los Angeles Times had printed several articles in the 1970s about the Southeast Asian Cambodian refugees who were suffering disturbing nightmares and refused to sleep. In particular, there was a family with a young son who told his parents that he was afraid to go to sleep because of the man that was chasing him.
Ooh.
And he feared that if he went to sleep, the man that was chasing him would actually be able to get him. The boy would stay awake for several days at a time. When he finally fell asleep, I guess his parents were kind of like, okay, cool, like, we're good, like, he's asleep, this is fine, this is great. They all heard him start screaming out of nowhere. They ran to him, and as soon as they got to him, they found out that he was already dead.
From what?
I don't know.
Like, shock?
I don't know. That part just, the last sentence in the article was like, he died from a nightmare.
And was dead.
And I'm
dead.
Like, he didn't die from a nightmare.
No, he died
but
from something.
He died from something. It may be, you know, the lack of sleep caused his body to kind of, like,
shut down
to where,
like,
he couldn't, like,
sleep
wake himself up. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is sleep deprivation. But maybe he just had a heart attack because of the nightmare, and his heart was just not strong enough to get him through that. So I don't know. I don't know what it was, but, yeah, there you go. That it actually was the inspiration behind Nightmare on Elm Street.
Wow. So, I love that movie.
I do love that movie.
You know, I met him, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund. Actually, funny story. My mom used to work for the County of Orange. She was, like, a secretary at one of, like, the yards and did, like, all of, like, the beach events and bullshit, whatever. And they would occasionally get guys that were on, like, parole or, like, probation and stuff to go there and do community service with, like, the county workers, like, the men that would go out and, like, clean the beaches and do everything. Well, apparently, back in the day, early 2000s, Robert Englund got into a fight with someone on a golf course and ended up, I could be totally wrong, but from what I remember, I think he hit someone with a golf club.
Cool.
And ended up getting, like, community service for it.
Freddy Krueger hit somebody with a golf club. It's kind of funny.
And he had to do it at my mom's work for, like, 2 months.
That's interesting.
And so my mom, like, knowing very young Shauna, was, like, way too into scary movies.
She'd be into this.
She was like, oh, my God, like, my daughter would love to meet you. And I got to meet him, and he was super, super sweet. I have a signed autograph from him somewhere. Literally, he gave me a picture of himself, like, as Freddy Krueger, and he wrote on there, "Sweet dreams, Shauna." And it was, like, the creepiest fucking thing, but it was so cool.
I love that. How he was do you not super, have that framed on your
he
wall?
He was super, super sweet. My dad somehow got his hands on it. That was how it ended up not framed. But, yeah, it was, like, really cool. It was really nice. Yeah, so that happened.
How cool.
I know. I was probably only, like, 9. Yeah, I was probably, like, 9. And it, like, totally creeped me out because he did the voice and everything and was, like, sweet dreams. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
That's neat.
That was awesome. It was really cool. Is this the last one? Do you have any more?
No, that was my last one.
That was your last one? Yep. Okay, so for my last one, this one's short. We've got the movie The Quiet Ones. So this movie is based on the Philip experiment that took place in Ontario, Canada in 1972. The idea of the experiment was to basically create a fictional ghost and have a seance to see if the subjects could communicate with said ghost because of the controlled seance. So basically the conductors of the experiment made up this whole entire story about like a man and all of this shit that had happened to him and how he was a ghost now, and they made it, all of their subjects believe that it was true, and they secretly altered the environment of the room that the subjects were in to make them believe that they were really in contact with the ghost. So, like, dimming the lights, changing, like, the temperature of the room.
Fuckers?
Yeah, and so...
Sabotage.
Yeah.
That's firework.
I was like, what was that?
Sorry.
yeah, so they basically just wanted to see if they could, like, put it into these people's heads that there was something going on,
that's
how they would react.
That's a lot of manipulation. That sucks.
Yeah. So all of them said that they had, like, felt something in the room. They believed everything that was going on. But none of the subjects actually came forward saying that they had legitimately had contact with the ghost. I mean, obviously
yeah.
because it wasn't
How are you
real.
Going to?
I haven't actually watched the movie, so now I kind of want to. I was just more, like, looking into what we were going to talk about, and that one came up, and I thought that it was really interesting because, I mean, seances have been around for such a long time,
forever.
And I've seen, like, a ton of movies on, like, controlled experiments, like the prison experiments, stuff like that. There's a new movie coming out about that, by the way, that looks really, really good.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I kind of do like the idea of, like, watching things on, like, controlled experiments just to see the way that people react. So I think this one would be a really cool one to watch. I didn't find a ton about the actual, like, incident itself, but I did think that it was, like, kind of crazy the way that they thought to, like, put everything together just to see if people, you know, would, like,
yeah,
make shit up in their own mind.
Do it, and it's kind of like a sugar pill in a sense, because you're tricking people into believing that something is real, like,
yeah.
under the pretense, like, this is actually happening right now.
Yeah. So I thought that was, like, really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Were there people that were in the room with them that were in on it?
Yes. I want to say there were a couple people that were in the room that were in on it. But the majority of the room had no idea what was going on.
Cool. Okay.
And then there were, like, people that they weren't aware of that were, like, the ones altering.
Got it.
Like,
behind
everything.
The scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard of Oz style.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, I thought that
cool.
one was super, super
okay.
interesting.
I want to see that one now, too.
I know.
Actually,
have
I haven't
have
even
night.
Seen the Winchester movie.
I haven't seen the Winchester movie, but I've read, like, a lot about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, my parents and I, we would go up to Monterey and Carmel, like, okay, every year for, like, the holidays. And so we would always drive past it. And, you know, you stay at the hotels and stuff, and you see, like, the little flyer that advertises for it. That was the same. I would grab that flyer every single year.
Every time.
So that way I could look at the pictures of, like, oh, look at the ghost hand. And, like, you know, that it's not real.
But honestly, I've always wanted to go. And I took my son up to Monterey last year, and we stayed for, like, a week. And I really, really wanted us to check it out. But he was just, like, no, it wouldn't have
maybe
been.
Maybe he gets a little bit older, but
yeah, I think right. In a couple years, but, like, especially last year, it would have been, like, miserable for me. I would have been, like, kicking myself in the ass for, like, God, like, I paid for a tour and everything, and I couldn't even pay attention.
Yeah, come back.
Yeah, don't walk out the door. Yeah.
Don't walk out the door that drops off the third floor.
Exactly. Don't get lost in, like, the fucking house that no one has a plan to, like.
Yeah, well, they said people could be lost for several hours, if not, like, an entire day, if you happen to go off the path, because there's so many twists and turns and, like, trapped, like, areas. Like,
for some reason, I just got, like, super The Shining vibes, and because I've been dying to take a trip to the Stanley Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that hedge maze that they have.
Oh, my gosh. I would be so neat.
Right? Maybe we'll take, like, an out-of-state trip.
And then we gotta dress up like Dumb and Dumber.
Okay. We got this.
Yes. Cool.
But, yeah, so that's all we've got for you guys today.
Hey, we finished in, like, a perfect time for a Bitty Bothered.
Yeah, I hope that this was, like, cool for you guys.
Yeah,
a little different than, like, what we normally talk about. A little more lighthearted than usual.
Yeah, so. I think so. And especially since we didn't really go super in-depth with everything, it was kind of like a nice overview of different things that we eventually will cover.
But yeah, let us know if there are any stories that we talked about today that, like, specifically stuck out to you guys that you think would be cool to hear, like, sooner rather than later, because obviously there are, like, quite a few on these
lists. We've got 9 stories right now that we can definitely start to cover, but it's going to be a while before we can cover all 9 of them. So
exactly.
What's so, like, more important to you?
Yeah, if y'all really want to hear about, like, Ed Gein or
I want to hear about Ed Gein.
I know. The Amityville Horror, that one would be a really cool one.
Oh, no, we're almost done.
But, yeah, guys, it was great talking to you today.
Yes.
You'll hear this one soon because it'll be posted tomorrow.
It'll be posted tomorrow morning. I work tomorrow, so I got to get it out. So it'll be up and ready to go tonight, but it still won't be published until mañana. But in the meantime, you can check us out on Instagram. That's bothered_AF.
Yes, and then we've got an email. That's botheredaf@gmail.com.
Yep.
There is a Facebook page. Just look up botheredaf and
or it'll don't pop nobody up else's.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I haven't even been posting on there because, like, there's not shit on there right now.
It's fine. We have the Instagram. There. We check the emails. We respond to that stuff pretty quick, and we check that all the time.
The point is, not a priority. I made the Facebook.
So if you want it, it's there.
If you do anything with it, the notification will come through on my Facebook. So, like, I'll see it. I'll interact. Like, if you guys want to go there, I'll make it work, I guess.
Start up your own little group on there.
Yeah.
Chat about crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, Shauna does Facebook, so she can handle all that crap.
But yeah. So until next time, guys. Stay bothered. Bye.